I want to speak today about generous giving and particularly about legacies. I'm sure you know there are lots of good Bible principles on giving. In only the fourth chapter of the Bible, Cain and Abel bring their offerings to God. In Genesis 14, Abraham gave the local priest Melchizedek a tenth of what he earned. And in Leviticus and Numbers, they turn that into a principle, the 10% tithe of income as part of regular worship. And then over and above that, it's suggested in the Bible that people might give free will offerings for particular special appeals, like, for instance, when they wanted to build the tabernacle or something like that. In the prophet Malachi, he has a go at the people because they've stopped doing this. And Malachi says the people are robbing God by not bringing in the tithes and offerings. You remember the Christmas stories about the wise men coming to see Jesus in the manger, the magi, as the Bible calls them. And they, of course, bring gold, frankincense and myrrh, don't they? So in any culture, whether it's Jewish or whatever, when you worship, when you come to honour somebody, even when you come to visit somebody, you bring a gift, don't you? Sometimes people ask, well, the tithe is all Old Testament, isn't it? It's not New Testament. In the New Testament, surely, things are different. Well, yeah, that's true, actually. In Luke 21, Jesus sees a poor widow coming and giving her offering to the temple. And it wasn't a story, it wasn't made up or whatever. She was actually there in front of him. And he pointed her out to his disciples and he said, look. And he knew somehow that she had given not just 10%, but she'd given everything, 100%. So if there is a New Testament percentage, it's to be sold out for God, to give 100% generosity. And then in the reading that Peter read to us, Paul talks about the collection for God's people. They had a principle that if one part of the church, or if a church in one town was well off, and if a church in another town was suffering, perhaps a famine or something like that, then they would share out the blessing and they would take a collection from the folk who had enough and take it to the folk who were in need. And Paul explains in those three little verses, he explains this is our standard practice in all the churches to give mutual support to one another. He talks about planned and regular giving. He talks about it being on the first day of the week. In other words, the first cut and not the leftovers. And he talks about giving a proportion of your income. Each man should give in proportion to what he earns. And then again in 2 Corinthians, he talks about being generous and underlines the point, has this wonderful phrase, God loves a cheerful giver. And the word in Greek actually means hilarious giver, somebody who gives with great joy. Perhaps some of you have seen videos of African churches. When they bring up the offering, they dance with it up the middle of the church, you know. And I know they're full of joy, more than British people who are rather stern, but the giving is joyful, cheerful, hilarious. It gives them great blessings. So if there's one Bible principle that comes through time and time again, I think it's generosity. Be generous. That's the guidelines of Scripture. Why? Is it because it's wasteful? No, of course not. God doesn't want us to be wasteful. He calls us to be good stewards. But be generous because God is generous. So it's part of our gratitude, it's part of our worship to give generously to God in turn. It's nearly harvest time, isn't it? You remember bringing in all the produce of the land, all the good things that God has given us. And it's a time to celebrate God's generosity to us. Take a moment now, maybe. Take a moment of quiet to think of some of the good things, perhaps, I don't know, half a dozen really good things that God has given you and blessed you with. Let's take a moment to do that now and thank God in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for your generosity to your people, your overflowing love to us. Amen. As I said at the beginning, I want to think particularly with you this morning about legacies, because I know we don't often think about these things, but often legacies are actually the biggest gift that we will ever make. I was going to say in our lives, but what I mean is after our lives. But the biggest gift that we will ever make is often in our wills. How many of you, I wonder, have made a will? Can I ask that slightly rude question? Well done. Because, do you know, across this nation, only about one third of people have made a will. About two thirds of people die intestate, as they say. And it causes no end of problems for their families. I think it's really sensible, good planning to make a will. Because if you make a will, your wishes are then carried out. But if you die without a will, then your money, your possessions, everything that you value will probably go to someone else. I heard of one couple this week who were both suffering illnesses. Her illness was terminal, but it was going to be quite a while. Her husband suddenly died unexpectedly. And they discovered that their young children were going to be cared for by social services after she died, because they hadn't specified anything. They needed to appoint guardians in their wills, so she made a will very quickly. It's not morbid, it's sensible. And it saves your family a lot of delay and, how shall I put it carefully, a lot of debate. So I want to mention, particularly, a thing called Free Wills Month. It used to be called Make-A-Will Month, I think. But every year in October, solicitors offer people the chance to make a simple will for free. And so any time now you can sign up for that and they'll let you know when it's starting. From the 1st of October you can put in your postcode and they'll tell you all the local solicitors who are willing to do that, to make a simple will for free. Obviously you can make a donation to charity, they offer you the chance to do that. But Psalm 49 that Helen read to us reminds us that it doesn't matter how wealthy you are, doesn't matter how many houses and cars and toys and things you have, death is the great leveller, isn't it? Rich and poor alike come to the same end. But in that psalm, I don't know if you spotted it, there are two little hints from the psalmist what you can do about it. In verse 5 he says, "Why should I fear when evil days come?" Why should I fear when evil days come? He knows something. He knows something that is different to other people. And then in verse 15, he reveals what that is. God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself. Now, I don't know whether he believed in resurrection or whatever, but clearly trust in God for him took away the fear of death, the terror of death. There's actually a website, I put it on the bottom of the screen there, called churchlegacy.org.uk, which they've done in the past year or so. And it's really helpful and attractive, and it gives a guideline to making a will, how to do that, and indeed some sort of principles and helpful advice. So can I ask, please consider, if you're making a will, please consider leaving a legacy to God's work. Perhaps a gift in your will to a charity or even to the church. Andrew tells me that the last major legacy left to this church was in 1966, nearly 50 years ago, in other words. And that legacy helped to fit out our church hall with equipment and so on. So just to draw a conclusion, in the Bible we should give regularly and generously. It's part of our Christian worship of God. And that means, as a baseline, a proportion of our regular income to the church. And then beyond that, of course, we can respond with free will offerings. We can respond generously to appeals for special things. Perhaps, for example, disaster relief, when you hear that somewhere in the world there's, I don't know, a hurricane or a tidal wave or whatever. But also, I think, good forward thinking means making a will. Well done, all of those of you who have. And in that will, obviously, you can specify guardians for children, leaving legacies, what you want in your funeral, all those sorts of things. So I commend to you generous giving, and particularly leaving a legacy. Amen.